So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Welcome to the Property Cashflow Show. My name is Dan Latto. Hope you're well today. What are we, 15th of January. Hope you are still continuing with your New Year's resolutions. They tend to finish after the 14th. That's usually the date that most people's New Year's resolutions kind of peter off a little bit. But hopefully you are still going with yours. Let's just have a look. That's fine. So in today's Property Cashflow Show, I want to talk to you about the darker side of property investing. And I wanted to come up with a really dark title full of mystique and mysteriousness. And basically what I want to talk to you is about when stuff doesn't go your way in property. So I've been an investor for 20 years now. And when I first bought property all that time ago, goodness me, where have those years gone? It feels like yesterday. But we've had it all. We've had everything, anything that you could possibly have. Actually, we haven't quite had it all. We've had nobody die in our properties, despite owning a lettings agency that has managed thousands on thousands and thousands over a 10, 12-year span, but it actually existed. We never had anybody dying there. I think we had a couple of close shaves. We had a guy, we were doing a viewing once, and the tenant knew we were doing a viewing, and I wasn't there on this viewing, so my guy's telling me about this viewing. And so he got to the place, and he tried to open the door. It was unlocked. And it would only open a little gap. He couldn't work out why. And he's trying to peer down the gap, see what was stopping the door from open. And it was a body. So he was like, well, there's no way to do it. So he pushed the door back and moved the guy back. And surrounding the body was beer cans. The guy was basically unconscious from all the alcohol that he had. But he was doing a viewing for a rental because the guy's moving out. So that was an interesting one. So we've had that. We've had no murders, thankfully, touch wood. We've had no death from natural causes, no fires, thank God, again, touch wood on that. And we're busy putting in fire extinguishers and fire blankets into all our properties now. We're making sure that we've got fire doors where we need to have fire doors, of course. And actually, as we keep moving forward, we're just constantly improving on this because it's weighing on my mind a little bit. But we've had, you know, we've had drunks, for example. We had a drunk a couple of months ago, and he was really nasty. A very nice guy when he was sober, but when he hit the beer, he was just really unpleasant, very, very unpleasant. And in the end, we had to evict him, and actually he moved out anyway. And I kind of feel sorry for him because, you know, it's a disease, effectively, and he just needs help, and he wasn't getting any help, you know. And we can only help so much as investors and landlords and that kind of thing. We tried to help, but it just, you know, didn't work out. So we've had those, of course. And we have, like, you know, we've got a couple of things that we do. We have a no dickhead rule. We don't allow dickheads into our properties. And if you're going, well, what's the definition of a dickhead? Well, if you need to ask that, then you know what your definition is. And I know what my definition is as well. It might be similar. It might be different. But, you know, anyone who's just like aggressive with us for no reason, just drunk. Unfortunately, when he was drunk, he was aggressive. Anyone who's just an arse, we just, you know, I know the government don't like this called no fault eviction. It is at fault, it's an arse. There's no reason for it. There's no reason to be aggressive or derogatory or anything like that, you know. So we don't allow those. And then we also have a three strikes and you're out rule as well. Anyone who's been, you know, like, we all get drunk from time to time and make an ass of ourselves. If it's a one-off, it's fine, depending, okay? But if it's a constant thing, three times and you're out, we just don't allow it. If you lose your keys three times, you know, it's like, we're not even allowed to charge for call-out fees anymore. Do you know what I mean? Tenant fee ban, it's just ridiculous. But we're going to have those. But where possible, we want long-term nice tenants. And if tenants are nice with us, we'll be really nice back. If not, we'll put the rents up, you know, just how we want to work it. But we've had cannabis farms. And so the question is, what do you do when you have a cannabis farm? Well, you smoke it, I suppose. You don't smoke it. That's a joke. but like with a cannabis farm, you know, it's like £5,500 worth of damage. There's a coke can next to all the weed. And I said to the officers, why don't you like fingerprint it? And then, you know, we had a fake ID off this guy. We ran credit checks and everything. It was all fake, turned out. And the police were like, well, Did you see him drink that can? I'm like, well, no. So what, it could be anyone's then. The guy's lived there for 9 months, for goodness sake. Why, you know, why would it be anybody else's? So that didn't work out so well. But this is the darker side of property investing. It's a side that nobody ever tells you about. And it's ridiculous that you go on these training courses, no one ever tells you about it. It's always positive stuff and financial freedom and all that kind of stuff. And all that kind of stuff is important and it's good, but it's not the be-all, end-all. You need to understand some of the things that can go wrong and will go wrong. There might be murders in your property. There might be, you know, natural causes, deaths from natural causes in your properties. You're going to have drunks. You're going to have a cannabis farm at some point. You're going to have somebody who trashes the place and puts dog crap all over walls. And by the way, when you paint that stuff, it usually leaves a thing, so you have to sand it down and then repaint. Anyway, you have all that stuff to have to deal with. You're going to get people who don't pay rent and don't leave. Then you're going to have to go to court, and then shelter are going to turn up. They're going to defend them. Even though the guy's in a full-time job, this actually happened at a place in Doncaster. The guy had a full-time job, £2,000 a month, wouldn't pay his £500 a month rent, turns up with shelter. Him and his girlfriend were on the tenancy. She'd moved out due to alleged domestic violence, whether that's true or not, who knows. And so I was just evicting him. Technically, it was incorrect on the Section 8, got thrown out of court for non-payment of rent. Section 8 got thrown out because both names weren't on the tenancy agreement, weren't on the Section 8. So shelter are helping protect this guy who's got money but decides not to pay rent. This is one of the reasons why I hate shelter so much, is that, you know, we talk about homelessness and shelter causing homelessness, but that's just part and parcel of it. On the way out, I said, that's fine, it's not a problem, we'll see you in court again. We got CCJ on him. We are going to issue bailiffs in 5.5 years, less than that now because it was a year and a half ago, 4 years. We'll issue bailiffs. Once he's moved on, we'll run a trace and we'll go and find him. And he can pay us all the money plus interest that he owes, which is about, I don't know, £2,000, something like that, £2,000 or £3,000, because we had to go back to court because the first one failed. So this is the darker side of property investing. The other side of this as well, by the way, is, you know, like I was doing Section 8s myself, and I'm the worst person to do a Section 8. And afterwards, you know, I flew in and I wanted to be there and I did it and it failed. And it's like, why am I doing this? It was a good lesson for me to learn. I'm not an expert at legal stuff or Section 8s and Section 21s. So now we just pay somebody else. My job really is to have less of a headache, is to have an easy life. That's really what I want. And so now we just pay a third party to do whatever it is that we need doing. Why should I be doing that? Let somebody else do it. Yeah, it's a cost implication, but that's all right. I'd rather do that and get it done properly, and then we can get on with being landlords with our nice tenants who we do enjoy dealing with. If you're watching this, by the way, please come and say hello so we know you're there. Let me know who you are as well, because it doesn't come up. But on the darker side of property, you need to understand what the rules are in property investing. And this is one of the things that really, really annoys me, is that people buy a buy-to-let property and then they have no idea what they're doing, how to do it. Oh, well, I'll just change his locks. That'll get him. You know, it's, well, just, that's illegal. You've got a prison for that. It's an enforced eviction. You can't do it. And this is one bit of advice we'll give you if you're going to get into long-term buy-to-let property, is understand what the rules and regulations are. Get yourself on an RLA or an NLA training course on how to evict tenants, how to issue tenancy agreements, how to deal with tenants. You know, the guy that's poured cement down the toilet and the tenant had to leave, and the guy's thinking, great, I've got rid of the tenant, went back to court because the tenant sued him, had to put in a new toilet and give the keys back to the tenant because it was an illegal eviction. Now he's got another 2 or 3 months. Then he goes to court and the tenant says, well, he put cement down the toilet. It doesn't look good, does it? Instead, you should just do this the proper way, but most people have no idea. Or they get the idea out of the mates down the pub. Oh, no, 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 you just put cement down his toilet. That'll do it. That'll force them out. Or super glue the locks. It's like, come on, guys. It's 2020 now. We can't do stuff like that. You want to be a professional landlord, you've got to start acting like a professional landlord. No wonder landlords have such a bad rep. I was just reading this morning about a £35,000 fine in Sutton, I think it was. And the landlord had tenants in rooms and the electrics were dangerous. And when he got an improvement notice, he just ignored it. Cost him £35,000. You can't get away with stuff like that. It's just not allowable. And why would you want to be that guy? Why would you want to be that person? I know tenants do the dirty from time to time. I know they don't pay rent. And they come up with, well, my grandma's died. And then next month, my grandma's died. And the next month, my grandma's died. And how many grandmas have you got? I get that you might be having a few financial difficulties, but don't lie to me and tell me three grandmas have died. Oh, well, one wasn't a grand, she was an aunt. You're just making shit up. Three strikes and you're out, you know? So I get that people have got fallen hard times. I get that people have difficulties, health, with their income, with their family. I get all that as well. But if it was your mortgage company, they would still expect you to pay the mortgage. And I'm no different than that, so pay, you know? So we can help them make the transition easy. If they've lost a job, we've just got a tenant right now, he's in a HMO, he's in his 50s, incredibly nice guy, and he's lost his job and he's panicking. I'm like, dude, just relax a little bit. It's okay, don't worry. We'll help you out. He's been in there two and a half years, really nice guy. Dude, shit happens. It's fine. We'll help you get over this. What do you need from us? How can we help you? Have you got food? He's got heat and light and Wi-Fi, right? He's got all that because he's in the HMO. Have you got some food? Let's put you in touch with your local church or your local food bank. Let's get your help sorted there. What else can I help you with? Do you need help getting a job? Is there something I can, do you need a character reference? Nice guy. What do you need that I can help you with? And right now, he should be paying monthly and he's paying weekly. And it's, I don't know where he's getting his money from. Maybe he's got another job. I don't know. He's fine, he's happy, you know. So our job is to help people, not kind of go against them. But in return, you're not always going to get good tenants. That's just part and parcel of life. But where they are good, we want to hold on to them as long as we can. This guy had a hiccup, so we'll help him. But there's a darker side to this with tenants, and that is that tenants, you know, they're professional, non-paying tenants. I'll give you an example. So we had a property, we still got it actually, in Bradford. And it was when I was running my letting agency. This guy turns up in his convertible BMW for a flat that was at the time was maybe 350 quid, very low, low value. This guy turns up in a convertible Beamer. Now I'm like, why are you in a convertible Beamer for this flat? The flat's nice, but it's low end. It's a grade two listed building, very nice, but you drive around in a Beamer, it just didn't match up. He had a three-piece suit on. There was something about this guy I couldn't put my finger on. Anyway, we rejected him as a client, okay? Something about him, I didn't know what it was. Somebody else moved him into one of their flats. I think it was William, not William Hill, that's a betting. It was William H. Brown moved him in. It's in Bradford. So Sequence and William H. Brown is the same organization. It's a William H. Brown. They moved him in. We were talking about bad tenants about 3 or 4 months later. I was in their office because I was buying another property. And we're talking about bad tenants. So they said, oh, we have one at this particular location. And I said, wasn't the guy driving a BMW? Yeah, it's like really weird. But what happened? Well, he moved in, and the day he moved in, he stripped the joint. He literally turned up with a van, and he took out the kitchen, all the white goods. He took everything, everything that was of any value, capped off. He took all the heaters, took the oven, took the fridges, took the units. That's crazy. Now, this was like that gut feel. So he literally stripped back a flat. I had no idea how they get through references. You know, we run references, and honestly, we've gone through stages where we haven't run references because, like, frankly, what's the point? It's just a load of lies anyway, usually. But we run them now. But he got through references, and he got through, and he damaged all his property and nicked it all. This is the darker side of being an investor, and you need to understand that if you're going to be an investor, this is what some of the stuff that can happen in your properties. We had another one a couple of weeks back in December. The guy messages me, can you help me? It's 6 a.m. in the morning. I've been forced out of my flat. There's strangers in the flat. And I'm like, strangers, just people you haven't met yet. His friend, who is female, but not in a relationship, a friend. She was having friends round, and they were bullying him or something, and he had to get out of the flat. I'm like, dude, you need to phone the police if it's this bad. You know, you're paying your rent on time. If it's a breach of noise and a nuisance to neighbours, then we'll be interested in that. But other than that, you know, if it's strangers, I've got friends who are strangers to you. If you're watching this right now, you've got friends who are strangers to me. Everyone's a stranger. You might be a stranger to me. I don't know who you are, right? So everyone's a stranger until you get to know them. And he didn't phone the police, and he had a chat with her, and it kind of calmed down. And then just one morning, she said, well, that's it. I'm leaving. She refused to pay rent. He was petrified about his rent and so on. So she just got up and, you know, it took her a week to move out. And then we knew we weren't getting rent from her side. He paid his side. But he was on a bit of a delay on paying because he changed jobs as well. So we had to manage this whole situation. We managed it really, really well, by the way. She refused to pay, but she did give us a forwarding address. So what we did was we sent a letter out. Unfortunately, I don't know why this happened, But she gives a forwarding address of where she was staying at her parents. And so I don't know why this happened. It just computer error deleted the Mr. The Miss. It just deleted that bit. It didn't say Miss. So it said the lady's surname. And so it went to her mum and dad's house, which is just a bit weird because maybe she didn't open it. Maybe her parents might have opened it. And then it was completely accidental, of course, as I'm sure you can appreciate. But anyway, we got the money through almost immediately after that letter had been served, which was, you owe us this money. You said you're not going to pay. You know, we've had problems with your other tenant partner saying these problems have occurred. Anyway, we got that money through. And the other guy is getting paid tomorrow. He's already paid a little bit. He owes about 130 quid. That money's coming in tomorrow. So it's just about managing this stuff, about when tenants don't pay. So there's a couple of extra things on this that I can talk about. If you've got any questions, by the way, about this stuff, I'm more than happy to answer these. So one of the things that we do is if a tenant's in the property but not paying, we'll issue a Section A after 32 days. You know, that's 2 months in arrears, effectively. So if it's the 1st of Jan, by the 2nd of Feb, you can issue a Section 8 because they're technically more than 2 months in arrears. Due on the first month, due on the second month, but now 2 months in arrears, even though it's only 32 days. Okay. So we issue Section 8. But at the same time, let's say it's £1,000 a month. We issue a Section 8, fine. We then also issue a money claim online for the 2 months in arrears. We used to claim the Section 8, and we can't do that anymore because it's a tenant fee. But we just claim it for the £2,000 in arrears, and then we issue a money claim online. And this is what happens. This is what's really interesting is when we send you our late, we don't get a response, we just don't pay. And when we go, well, Section 8, you know, we have a four-week sequence of letters. When we say, well, we're going to issue Section 8 and we still don't pay, when they get issued the money claim online, they often pay. And so this is why I think this happens. It's really important for you to understand is that when you're sending letters, most people threat, well, I'll sue you. Like we say, like, we don't sue people in the UK. We take them to court. Okay. So when people say, well, I'm going to sue you, you don't know what you're talking about, do you? That kind of is an indicator that somebody doesn't know what we're talking about. But when someone says, that's fine, I'll have to instigate the court process. Now we might pay attention to that, okay, because that means a little bit more. But we know when someone says, well, I'll sue you, they're not going to sue us. And when we say that to a tenant, I think the tenant has that same understanding. But when they get a money claim online that says, you know, I've got 14 days to apply to this, they're like, oh, my gosh, now we are in trouble. And honestly, 90% of the time, most tenants will actually pay the rent that's owed. And they're, oh, so sorry, I'm having such a bad time. I'm so sorry, it never happened again. And by the way, depending on who they are and how they've done it, we will still evict based on that. We will still continue with the Section 8 because we don't want them in our property. And by the way, this is the other thing. One of the ways in which you can tell is if the rent's £1,000, this month paid £900 and £100 late, and next time it's £950 and they're £50 late, and the next time it's £850, this is a problem that's just been kicked down the road. You can see it's been kicked, but you can't issue a Section 8. But at this point, we want to issue Section 21s because we know that they are going to miss both rents. We know that this is coming, okay? I can tell you that happens probably about 75% of the time, and we want to mitigate that. And so we might even issue, if they haven't paid that money at all, like if they're £100 late and then £50 late and then £150 and they haven't paid it, we'll issue a county court claim for that little bit of money. That sends them a message that we're really serious about this and that they need to get up to date. And usually that will force the issue. They'll move out or we'll find some money or whatever. But if they're struggling at that, you want to be questioning why are they living in that unit, you know, £1,000, £500. It's irrelevant how much that actually is. But we want to be questioning whether we want these people in our unit. Because honestly, after 20 years experience, I can tell you that 75% of the time, you're going to have a problem later on down the line. That's not to say but that's what happens all the time, because it's not. 25% might be fine, but it depends on how they are, and you've got to read the situation. So if you're an investor over a long period of time, and this is the same for property sourcing is really, really hard. I know people go on property trading courses, that's fine, and they sign up for mine, and that's fine. It's really, really hard. You've got to drop a lot of leaflets. You've got to speak to a lot of, got to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince, right? Can't believe I just used that in a podcast, but there you go. But you've got to be on your game. You've got to have systems and processes. What happens if this is going to happen? What happens if this is going to happen? Not only that, you've got to be educated about what to do when a particular thing happens. And you get that education from NLA, RLA, the official landlord bodies. You've got to go down that path and make sure that they, that you are getting the right training so that you're not left with a problem that you don't understand. It's absolutely vital that you do that. And I think that will do us for the darker side. There's so many other aspects of the darker side of property. I was reading this morning about the West Bromwich Mortgage Company, and they put interest rates up, which was against the contract, but in the small print basically said we can do whatever we want. And 118 Property did a class action lawsuit against them, which they lost. And then it went to the Court of Appeal, which they won. So it took a couple of years. Like, it can be the Wild West. Do you know what I mean? Being a property investor is risky. But the thing that reduces the amount of risk is the level of education. I can't tell you how many times I see people and they're like, oh, it's all risky. I'm like, well, have you done any training? No. Have you got any experience? No. Well, you don't know what you're talking about then. Like, riding a horse is risky. Riding a bike is risky. A 17-year-old doing 200 mile an hour around a racetrack is risky. But these guys are professionals. Do you know what I mean? So it's, the risk is only as much as educated and experienced you are. So your job is to get more educated and the experience will come. So somebody said, very interesting. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for that. I don't know who you are. Always put your name in there if you can. That's useful. But thank you for that. I'm glad you found that useful. Always happy to answer questions, of course, because I think it's very important. Anyway, that will do us for today. Hope that's useful. We'll catch up with you on Friday, Mindset and Hustle Show. Join us 12 o'clock noon on Friday in the Facebook group at daniellatter.co.uk/mastermind. Come join us for that's free. And we'll speak to you on Friday. Hope you have a good week and we'll catch up with you soon. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.